of the highest beauty titles in the world is for Miss Universe. But the most beautiful creature in the universe has never received the prize. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the most misunderstood beauty prize winner in history. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. A recent poll taken among leading theologians of the leading seminaries reveals that only 7% of them believe in a personal devil. Now, they have devious and sundry explanations of sin, which leaves out entirely any personal being. Let me assure you that this is exactly the way the devil wants people to think. The very real devil rejoices to hear the theologians deny his existence. It gives him a terrific advantage in making his attacks. Listen to what the Bible says about his reality in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Oh yes, he exists, all right, friends. We see evidence of him, and more than that, the Bible tells us that he does exist. But where did he come from? Where did he originate? Jesus gives us the answer to that question. In Luke 10:18, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now just think of it. The devil came from heaven. That's what it says. But what a place for the devil to come from. And it says exactly the same thing over here in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Oh, there's no doubt about it. Heaven is the place he came from, and his name was Lucifer up there. In other places, it describes him as being one of the most glorious beings in existence. He was so bright that they called him the day star, Lucifer. And coming down to this earth, it says he's the one that weakens the nations. Now, we hear all kinds of theories about what makes certain nations go down. A political movement here, a military debacle over there. But according to the Bible, it's Satan that brings weakness to the nations. Anything in which Satan is involved has death in it. He carries with him the seeds of death and destruction for any program, any nation, or any person that takes him in. Now, it says Satan came from heaven. How did he happen to be up there, and why would he leave a place like that anyway? Well, the Bible record is clear enough on the matter. They threw him out, of course. It says so right here in Revelation 12 and verses 7 to 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found him or in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Well, he was cast out of heaven, it says. He prevailed not against Michael and the good angels. And that was when Jesus saw him fall like lightning from heaven. He came down to this earth and gained control down here. Now, this earth, of course, is a very small part of the universe. God could have saved himself a lot of suffering if he had just let Satan have this world. But he loved it, and he loved the people in it too much to abandon it to Satan. Because of God's great love for the people in this planet, the plan of salvation was inaugurated. As soon as Satan gained control of this earth, plans were immediately made for Jesus to come down and wrest it back from Satan. This time, Jesus would be in the form of humanity. And after overcoming all of Satan's temptations, he would lay down his life as an offering for the sins of mankind. Only then would the way be paved for the complete annihilation of the devil and his host. It was a bold plan, conceived in love and accomplished with infinite suffering. But in the words of the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. One of these days, Jesus is coming back to gather his people out of this world. He'll call them from their graves and take them to heaven to be with him there. That will be one of the final steps for the end of Satan's power. He'll be cast down, never, never to rise again. In fact, he's going to die. He'll be burned up, the Bible says. In fact, Ezekiel 28:18 says he'll be reduced to ashes upon this earth. Now, we know the devil came from heaven, but how did he get up there? Listen for the answer in Ezekiel 28:12, 14, and 15. Thou sealest up the psalm full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou art the anointed cherub that coverest. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Well, there it is, friends. That's how he got there. He was a created being. But that doesn't mean that God created a devil. The being that God made was a holy being. God says himself that he was perfect. It was just a case of a good angel going bad, just like some people do today. They're good at first, but they take up with sin and go bad. Lucifer did that. How did it come about? Therein lies a great mystery. To explain his sin is to excuse it, and there's no excuse for sin. But maybe this story will help a little bit. Suppose I walked down the street with you and we saw a drunken wretch in the gutter. Dirty, disgraced, and looking more like an animal than a human being. And suppose his mother happened to be coming along the street right at that time. What would you think of me if I said to that mother, "Mother, what in the world did you bring a blurry-eyed, dissipated derelict like this into the world for?" Oh, you say, nobody would ever say a thing like that to a mother. No, I hope they wouldn't, friends, but words like that would be grossly unjust and would make any mother weep. But suppose you said it. She'd probably answer, "Oh, but he wasn't that way when he was born. He was a beautiful, perfect child. I had such wonderful plans for him. I meant for him to really amount to something." Well, you say, "Mother, what happened that your plans for him never worked out?" Well, she says, "He just got into bad company and went from bad to worse." "But he wasn't that way in the beginning," you ask? "Oh, no, no." "Well, how old was he when you first noticed those symptoms of his going bad?" "Oh," that mother says, "about 13 or 14, when he first began running around with bad company." "Well, mother, listen, when you first noticed those symptoms of his going into sin and drunkenness, why didn't you just take him off somewhere and kill him?" Now, friends, that sounds terrible to even say it, doesn't it? Would anybody expect a mother to do that to her son? Of course not. And yet people ask that question concerning God. They say, "Why didn't God take Satan out somewhere in the universe and destroy him when he first entered the path of sin?" Do you know, friends, why God didn't do that? It's very simple. For the same reason that no mother could destroy her baby or even her young man, son, in his first steps of evil. God loved Lucifer. God loved him from the beginning. We don't know how long divine mercy pleaded with Lucifer, urging him to come back. It's a way God would do, though. He does it with all of us. Human parents do it with their children. Why wouldn't God do it with Lucifer? Of course he did. Finally, however, Lucifer went beyond the point where divine mercy could do any more for him, and there was nothing left for God to do but to send him out of heaven. But remember that Satan had his sympathizers. And it was not clear to the heavenly beings the awfulness of that path Satan had embarked on. Was he right or not? Why was his course of action so terrible? That must have been a question that the angels were asking. Satan had held God up before the universe as an arbitrary judge. God declared himself to be a God of love. He said that the entire universe was operating on laws of love, but Satan said no. He was closer to God than any of the other angels, and he knew that God's government was not based on love. And he passed that word around to all of the angels. Now, Satan had a tremendous advantage in all this. He could lie and deceive, while God could not do that. All God could do was protest Satan's accusations and declare them to be untrue. Listen, friends, what led up to this incredible division in heaven? How could a beautiful, innocent cherub turn into a rebellious devil? Something happened. Somewhere, somehow, this happy, glorious angel began to exalt himself. Ambition and pride took hold of his heart. He couldn't go any higher than he could without becoming God. And terrible as it sounds, that's exactly what he wanted. And it says in Ezekiel 28:17, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Well, that was a pretty big boast, wasn't it, French? But that's what he said, I'll be like the Most High. That same praise and honor and worship that's given to God, he was saying, really should be given to me. Yes, he reached for much, too much. He set his future and his eternal destiny on something that can never be his. He forgot that he was only a created being, not the Creator. However, God did not cut him off at once. In the first place, as we've said, God loved Lucifer. In the second place, all the other beings in heaven loved him too, and it wasn't yet clear to anybody but God the awful results that would come because of his program that he started on. Lucifer went out from God's presence and sowed distrust among the angels. Questions were raised about the love and motives and laws of God. I don't know what all he said. It could well be that he used the same arguments that he does today. God's law is unnecessary. It's a yoke of bondage. It's the spirit that gives life, not the letter. The letter of the law kills. Let's nail the law to something, anything. Let's get rid of it. How long did God permit this kind of program to go on? Well, finally, things came to the place where something had to be done. The future of heaven was jeopardized, so a showdown was called. The Bible says there was war in heaven, and Satan and his angels were forcibly and permanently thrust out, and never again could they enter into the life of heaven. He obtained control of this world, of course, and the sad history of this earth is the lesson book of the universe. This world is a sample of what Satan would have done to the whole universe if he could obtain control of it. Satan had tried to blame God for the trouble in this world, but actually the trouble had been caused because God's laws had been flouted. Chaos, misery, and death have been the result. Someone says, but even though God didn't make the devil, even though Satan went into sin on his own choice, still couldn't God have made him so he couldn't have done that? And I suppose he could have. But do you know what he would have done, he would have had? A whole heaven full of marionettes or robots with no intelligent choice of their own, doing what they did because they had to, and not from any free choice of their own. And how much joy do you think God would get from his creatures if that was the way they were made? So when God gave to his creatures the power of choice, he had to take the chance that sometime, somewhere, one of them might rise and say, I'm not going to do it. And that is exactly what happened. As we said, God could have destroyed Lucifer, but the questions and doubts Satan had raised had not yet been fully answered. So he allowed Satan to continue on, that the lessons of sin might be forever written in the lesson book of the universe, that all his beings might understand the justice and mercy and righteousness and truthfulness of his ways. So when Satan led Adam and Eve and through them the entire human race into captivity, God could have dealt with man's sin in two ways. He could have said, well, I warned you about that. I told you so. Now you've got to suffer the consequences. But friends, how thankful we can be that God didn't say that. Instead, he said, oh, Adam, I can't bear to see you die, nor your descendants. I've loved you with an everlasting love, and rather than to see you die, I will die in your place. And so the plan of salvation came in. Well, our time is gone, but if you'd like to have today's message in printed form, just write and ask for broadcast number 234. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.